When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello everyone, my name is Ben. I write some videos here at How Stuff Works, and I just got the go-ahead, the take it away on the intro from...
Scott Benjamin. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com also. And Ben, here's another topic that you, I know, are fired up about, because you came to me with this one in the hallway one day and said, this is something we got to cover.
Oh yeah, I had a eureka moment.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, at first it sounds like, I'll be honest, when I first heard it, I thought, man, that's I guess it's okay. I mean, yeah. It's an okay topic. But after looking into this, I find it as interesting as you do, I think. Or maybe not quite as interesting as you do. But I still think this one's got some legs.
All right. Well, let's set it up and see if it runs.
Okay. What is it?
It is new car smell. What's okay. So great about it?
Well, see, a lot of people are probably staring at their computer screen saying, what are they going to talk about new car smell? It's just simply new car smell. It goes away after a certain amount of time. There's not much interesting about that, right?
Or is there?
There is, definitely.
Yeah?
Yeah, as I found out, I had no idea when I looked into this. Now, I've had a lot of cars in the past, just used cars, no new cars. My wife has had new lease cars, and I know the new car smell. Our family had a couple of new cars, lease cars again. I've had used cars that have had distinctive smells.
Yes.
Where I had a British car, and it smelled like every other British car I've ever been in.
Really?
Ever. Yeah, and this is 30 years past the point when it was brand new. 35 years past it was
That's
new.
That's fascinating. What type of vehicle was
I
it?
I had an MG, and okay. I had a friend's father who had an Austin Healey. And nice. His dad pointed it out to me, but I hadn't been in his car to that point. And when I brought mine over to show him, my MG, he leaned in, and he said, yep, smells like a British car. And I said, What do you mean? And I went in his garage, got in his car, and it smelled exactly the same.
This is so interesting.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no, and I can clearly remember the smell my Trans Am had. It had a very distinct smell. It's probably just vinyl and whatever else they used in it, but every Trans Am in that era, it was a 78 Trans Am, and every Trans Am in that era smelled the same way.
And this cuts right to what we're talking about. You sort of changed the course of my actions here.
Sorry, man.
No, not at all. This is crazy. I never considered, Scott, that different generations of cars or different regions of car manufacturing would have distinctive smells.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just new cars, because that scent stays with the car. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other factors that come into it later in a used car. But for a new car, yeah, that scent that's there... it changes over time. It develops. And so many cars that are the same or same make, maybe same manufacturer, they end up with the same smell as another car manufactured by the same auto company 10 years later, 15 years later.
Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is very interesting to me about this is whenever somebody is a car owner, or whenever they have a new car, or whenever someone gets into a new car, everybody notices the smell. Everyone that I've met, at least.
Yeah.
Whether or not they know much about vehicles, whether they consider themselves, you know, an aficionado or just someone who wants something that doesn't break down yeah. on the way to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why smell is so powerful to people, especially new car smell, is that smell is actually one of the major avenues for our memory encoding in our brains. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this for the longest time.
I totally believe that. There are certain scents that bring back memories for me. And, you know, like I just mentioned the cars, of course,
yeah.
but there's foods, there's perfumes, mm-hmm. there's anything. I mean, it could be chemicals from a factory. It could be the smell of, I used to live near a bread factory when I was, it must have been a Wonder Bread factory when I was in Illinois. I lived in, and I was really, really young at the time. Mm. But whenever I smell fresh bread baking, because it always smelled like fresh bread near there,
yeah,
it was a great smell. But I always think of being there, and I swear I couldn't have been more than about 4 or 5 years old at the time, maybe 6 at the most.
Wow!
But it's a crystal clear memory because of that scent.
And we were just talking with our producer Jerry before we went on the air with this, mm-hmm. and we were talking about, you know, why people may or may not like this smell, and almost everyone does, and perhaps the psychological implications there are self-explanatory. You probably like the smell because you associate it with you having a new car.
That's right. Yeah, it's a new car. It's something nice, crisp, clean for mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. However, there's some bad news.
There is some bad news.
So hit us with it, Ben.
Okay, don't kill the messenger.
About that new car smell. Oh, and isn't it funny how when everybody gets into a car, they take a deep breath and they say, ah, that new car smell.
Yes, I'm guilty of this.
Why would you maybe not want to do that?
Well, because new car smell, according to the leading scientific research, is sort of a mixtape of something called VOCs. Do you know what VOCs stand for?
I do not.
Well, it doesn't stand for very ordinary chemicals. It actually stands for volatile organic compounds.
Very ordinary chemicals? Oh, it couldn't be important. Never mind. I'll come up with something.
We'll each try one at the end of the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah, come on.
Pressure's on, okay.
It'll be fun.
I'm trying to do other things here. I can't.
Okay.
It's like chewing gum and
you're
walking.
Right. If it comes up.
I'll try it.
So what are VOCs, Scott? They're things that they're things that have different names that are obviously chemicals. We're not talking about sugar and spice. We're talking about different kinds of benzene, stuff like polyvinyl chloride, phthalates, spelled P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T.
I saw a phonetic spelling of this, so I think I can help you out.
Help me out.
I think it's phthalates.
Phthalates.
Phthalates, I think.
Okay.
Best guess, anyways.
That's much better than mine.
There's a lot of bad stuff in new cars.
A lot,
and
yeah.
You know what phthalates are? Because I did look that up. But I didn't know that they were called VOCs.
Lay it on me.
Phthalates are the softeners that they use in plastic manufacturing. And over time, the phthalates leach out of the softeners that they, the plastics rather, and the softener. The
okay.
softeners and the softeners never really bond with the plastic, I guess. And someone will probably correct me on that, but from what I hear, that they don't. And so over time, these things kind of leach out, and that's what you're smelling. You're smelling the phthalates escaping or outgassing, which
outgassing.
Yeah. And what's the other term? There's another one.
I just said outgassing.
Off-gas. I've heard the term off-gas as well. Outgassing or off-gas, I think outgassing is the more prevalent term. Mm. But all of the materials within your car outgas, and that's... Unfortunately, these phthalates are also suspected of causing kidney and liver damage, but I don't know if it's ever been proven.
Yeah, there is that. There is definitely a call for more research mm-hmm. in that area, but I saw the same thing as well. And what's interesting for people who say, well, you know, if there's not any conclusive research, you know, thanks, Scott and Ben, but I'm going to take another deep breath in my new car. Keep in mind that Toys R Us has pulled infants' teething toys from its shelves because they can contain the same chemicals.
Oh, no kidding. So they soften the plastic that the kids
teething
chew
rings.
On.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
Okay, understood.
Spot on.
Huh. Interesting. I didn't know that. One other thing that they have in there, I was just thinking about this. Formaldehyde. There's formaldehyde in new cars as well. And sounds terrible, I know, but you think that formaldehyde's a bonding agent that they use in pressed wood as well. And the only reason I remember this clearly is because I had a friend whose wife was allergic to formaldehyde, and it took them a long, long time to determine that. She was getting progressively ill in her own home.
Weird.
And I'm not exactly sure that this is what she was suffering from, but there's something called sick building syndrome.
Yes.
Oh, so you know about sick building syndrome. Okay,
and
so
it typically occurs in newer buildings.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
That's what I heard.
Well, maybe, I mean, that might have something to do with, the outgassing of the materials that we talked about, because there's outgassing in buildings as well. It's not just cars, of course. Mm-hmm. But cars are much more confined. They're subject to heat from, you know, the sun, of course, and just, you know, other conditions that cause the outgassing to maybe be accelerated. And you're in this confined area, so if you don't have fresh air coming through, like buildings, they have heat exchange rates that they have to maintain. I don't know if a car does or not. Maybe it does.
Possibly, but I still, you know, we understand the difference.
Yeah, and so the idea was that this lady was getting ill based on formaldehyde, and where the heck is she's allergic to formaldehyde, terribly allergic to it, and it was just making her progressively more and more ill.
Yeah.
It's in pressed wood. It's in, you know, it's used in cabinets, furniture, the subfloors of your house, countertops, carpet. It's used in everything. I mean, it turns out, it's a very expensive renovation to fix your house once you live in it.
Formaldehyde?
Yeah, because they had to get rid of every bit of pressed wood, so they went from, you know, the pressed wood subfloor to real wood floors, and they went from, you know, the laminate countertops, which had pressed wood beneath them, they had to go to a granite countertop or something similar. I don't know if it's hardwood, maybe.
That's wild.
The cabinets themselves were pressed wood. There are some items of furniture maybe that you assemble at home, that kind of furniture, pressed wood as well, but that kind of stuff finds its way into cars, and you can imagine that if you're in that environment day after day, it can make you sick. And in fact, there's a lot of symptoms that people can experience in cars.
Yes, things like headaches, drowsiness, nausea, eye, nose, and throat irritation, and respiratory problems as well.
Not good for driving.
Not good for driving at all.
If you're getting drowsy while you're in your car, that's a bad thing. If there's a chemical reaction that's making that happen. The other thing is that it's creating a you've probably seen this before, this film that appears on your windows.
Yes,
that is due to the outgassing of the plastic in your car, and not just plastic, but every other thing in there, the foam, the any kind of rubber that's in there, even paint, carpet, padding, cloth, leather. I'm not so sure about the grease, but that leads to the smell again.
Yeah.
There's just this whole mix of chemicals and compounds in there that are, well, it's you're just in this confined area with all of these scents happening, and combined they make that new car scent that everybody seems to love.
Right, because of our psychological associations with it. But if you didn't associate it with a new car and you just smelled it on the street, and it's difficult to think about this, but what would you think? Would you think that it smelled as good? I would wager not.
I would think that individually maybe they would be potent, and you probably would back away, but maybe mixed together there's something about them, or people, it's just ingrained enough in our our culture now at this point that that's the new car smell. I think everybody's, if you don't own a new car, you've at least leaned in one or been in one or sat in one that you understand what we're talking about. There's something about it. It does smell good.
And here's the tricky part, because again, we are not saying that this will kill you. We're saying that it may not be that great for you. It doesn't treat your body as well as it smells like it should.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like fresh baked cookies or something.
No, exactly. And you know, the good thing is there's some good news to this.
There is.
The manufacturers are making great strides in reducing the these VOCs that are in cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what, they're still not down to the level that is required in new manufacturer, but but they are significantly down. So there's some Japanese manufacturers are working on it. I know Volvo has a test facility that's working on it. Chrysler, I believe, has already done something about it. I think GM is on its way. There's a lot of effort in this direction to reduce the VOCs in cars.
All the big dogs are moving toward that.
Exactly.
Because here's why it's so tricky, and it may sound like it's taken a while for the companies to turn around, but to their credit, individually, these different chemicals don't generate enough to be any sort of health hazard. Mm-hmm. It's when they all get together again, and it's mm-hmm. it's the culminative, the cumulative effect mm-hmm. there. But I've got some weird news. I don't know if it counts as good or bad, but
okay.
So we know that people, or companies rather, are cutting down on this new car smell,
mm-hmm.
which does make me a little bit sad, but I understand. This is probably good for people, but Scott, that new car scent at this point is so popular, so, as you said, ingrained, that there are companies that are making more and more money off selling new car scent bottles or new car, you know, those things that hang from the windshield, from the rear view mirror.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I bought a few of those, and they don't quite smell the same.
You bought new car scent?
Yeah, I bought new car scent.
Really?
I bought the Monte Carlo used.
You're just trying to mask the White Castle or Crystal smell in your car? Is that what's going on?
That will never go away. That will never go away.
That's ingrained in your car.
And people hop in my car and say, do you like fries?
As a matter of fact, there's a large order in the back seat right now.
Yes, there is. Yeah. There is. It's my emergency fry kit.
That's really, really smart.
But the it's funny because, you know, nowadays, the way it stands, experts are telling people to enjoy that original smell while it lasts, if you like it.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure that you have, for Pete's sake, some fresh air rotating in there, in and out. And once it goes away, it actually means that your car is a safer place because, just as you said earlier, the outgassing is sort of like the new paint smell, mm-hmm. you know? And what do you do when you're in a room that has just been painted?
Well, you open the windows.
You open the windows.
That's right. So you do that again with your car, and hopefully that'll keep you out of harm's way. But I'll be honest, I've never experienced in a new car, you know, being from the north in the wintertime, you have the windows shut up, you have the vents on, I guess.
Right.
But usually you got it on, well, fresh air, I guess, is coming in, still through the vents. But you don't have that massive intake of air through the windows.
Right.
It's never really bothered me to the point where I've had any kind of nausea or sore throat or headache or anything like that. It's never affected me that way.
But some people.
Oh, some people, yeah. Everybody reacts differently, and that's the problem here, is that, you know, they could try to cover this up with something else or use a different type of rubber, but maybe someone would have a reaction to that. Or maybe, you know, they use a different type of plastic, but maybe that's an irritant to someone's hands. There's always going to be somebody that reacts to those chemicals mm-hmm. in a different way. I guess they have to just kind of shoot for, you know, the median, the happy medium.
Median.
And, you know, just, I guess, whatever works for them. You know, just keep it. But they do need to get the VOCs down, and they are working on that. And I think that's a move in the right direction.
I think that's a very good point, but you know, you probably have an exceptional constitution, pretty much tough as nails. I don't think you'll have an allergic reaction.
That's from years and years of fast food eating.
Years and years. That's the secret. You heard it here first.
I'm preserved from the inside out is the way I look at it.
you have your own.
That's right. I think that must be it. I'm preserving myself from the inside out.
I was going to say you smell like a new car.
or McDonald's or whatever.
I'm not going to make the...
Never mind. That's it.
Okay. How about various outgassing children? That's my VOC.
Oh, okay. How about very optimistic carrots?
Oh, man.
Has nothing to do with cars, but...
Optimistic.
I'm no good at this.
Are you kidding? That was way better than mine.
Give me 3 minutes and I'll come up with something, but okay. Everybody just wait 3 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
And thanks to the magic of editing, it's actually been...
No, I have nothing. I got nothing.
Well, I think that we've covered this pretty well. And, you know, the main thing here again is that smell is a really cool thing. It's probably changing mm-hmm. over the course of at least the next 10 years,
sure,
I think.
Sure, it's going to fade away.
It's going to be something your kids might not remember.
I mean, the new car smell thing right now, even if you get one that still has that smell, it only lasts about 6 months. That's the common census here, is that about 6 months, it's gone, really.
Yeah, tops.
It's masked by every other odor that's in your car.
Yep.
You know, the time you carry pizza home or, you know, have the dog in the car for a while or something like that.
So to everybody who just bought a new car for 2010 or something and got a new one for Christmas, you guys... go ahead and breathe deep, but do it with the windows down. And I guess that's all I've got.
All right, everybody, I guess that wraps it up for today. I don't really have anything more to add to that, do you?
No, I'm pretty good.
If you have any more insight into this topic, just send us a quick email at
highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.